Bibles with us this morning into John, the Gospel of John, chapter number 1. Maybe just a simple message, but a tremendous thought. And it's what God laid on my heart, so it's what someone needs today. I'm going to read one verse. If you would stand with us, if you're able, as we reverence and honor the reading of God's Word. The Gospel of John, chapter number 1, verse number 29. The Bible says, "The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Brother Jim Cato, would you take us to the throne of grace? John is being questioned, he's being interrogated, as to whether he is the one, whether he is the Messiah, whether he is the Savior. And he says, "No, I've told you, I'm just the voice of one crying in the wilderness. I'm just the one who would come before." He said, "There's one coming after me whose shoelaces I'm not even worthy to unloose." And then the Bible says the next day, he seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." What John wanted everybody to see was Jesus. What John was concerned with was that everybody get their minds and their hearts and their lives focused on Jesus. And he even went on later to say, he must increase and I must decrease. Because it's not about me, it's about Jesus. Amen. And if we could get that thought in that frame of mind in our life today, there's not a place where we can be in our life. There's not a situation we can be going through that we can't find Jesus there to meet our needs if we'll just look and if we'll just seek him. Amen. And we want to preach on this thought this morning. There is Jesus. Amen. That's what John was saying. Look, there's Jesus. Amen. He's the one. There's Jesus. He's the help. There's Jesus. He's the one that the prophets told about. There's Jesus. He's the one that God said he would send to redeem mankind. There's Jesus. He's the fulfillment of everything that God had in mind to do. And this morning, I want you to know that Jesus isn't a has-been. He's still here. And if you'll look for him, you'll find Jesus right there. Amen. We can begin to flip, just take the book of John and just be able to flip and go through and we can see Jesus everywhere and we'll meet him and we'll speak to him here and there as we go through. But we can see just flipping through the pages in chapter 2, he's at the wedding celebration. In chapter 3, he's speaking with Nicodemus and he's helping this religious man to find the truth. He in chapter 4, he meets the woman of Samaria who's just wrapped up in her sin and tells her everything that was going on in her life. Amen. In chapter 5, he heals the paralytic when there was no hope. There was Jesus. Amen. In chapter 6, he feeds the multitude. He's there to supply our every need. And in chapter number 7, he's there. And he sees the need of, what is it here? I know there's one here. I got to find him. Amen. I can just find him. Well, let's just go on. I'm in a hurry. In chapter number 8, we see the woman taken in adultery. And Jesus was there to meet her need. Amen. We can go over into John chapter 9. And we see the blind man whom the religious crowd rejected. And Jesus was right there. In chapter 11, Lazarus had died. His sisters were grieving. Their hearts were torn. And Jesus was right there. Amen. We can go all the way through the Word of God and we can find out that whenever a man stood in need, whenever man was without hope in this world, there was Jesus. Amen. To meet his need. In chapter 2, as we said, you can look over there and you can see Jesus at the marriage celebration. And praise God, they were having a good time. Jesus and his disciples disciples had been invited unto this marriage celebration. And in the midst of things, they ran out of wine. And Jesus' mother came to him and said, look, the party's going to die if you don't do something. Amen. The celebration is going to fan out here and die off. If you can do something, do it. I know you can. And praise God, Jesus done something. You know something? You know what that shows me? Even in the good times. Amen. Even in the happy times, even when everything is going real good, he can make it just a little bit better. Amen. The problem is we don't want to seek him out. We don't want to see him. And he's right there. He was right there at the wedding. He was right there at the celebration. They were having a good time. But nobody ever thought to ask Jesus to make it just a little bit better. But when Jesus did what Jesus did, praise God, the governor of the feast, said, this is better than what we had before. Amen. I want you to know something. I don't care how good your life is right now. Amen. It can get a little bit better. Amen. I don't care how blessed you are at the moment. It can get just a little bit better. I don't care how sweet the power of God is in your life right now. If you want it, it can get just a little bit better. You know how it gets better? The Bible says, draw nigh to God, and he'll draw nigh to you. Amen. Let me tell you what. The closer I get, the closer I walk, and the closer and the better I know him, the sweeter it gets. Amen. And it gets sweeter and sweeter and sweeter every day. Amen. My wife, we was talking last night. We got home and was just sitting there, and I forget what it was that brought it up, something somebody was going through. And she said, you know, I think God just leaves us here so that we can go through things to perfect us. Not to where we be made perfect or we will be made anything, but that we might just come to appreciate him more and more. And I want you to know something, folks. He's better to me than what I deserve. Amen. He was better to me yesterday than I deserved. He's better to me today than I deserve. He'll be better to me tomorrow than I deserve. And every day that I spend with him just gets that much sweeter. Amen. It just gets that much better. I want you to know something this morning. Folks get discouraged in this way. They get discouraged in their walk with Jesus. And they get weary in well-doing. Amen. And they want to lay down. Let me to encourage you to keep going on. Let me to encourage you to where it seems like when the fires are fading, when things are dying out, just to look for Jesus. He's right there. Amen. And he'll make it just a little bit sweeter. You know what I'm talking about. Man, it was hard to get up this morning. You done lost an hour of sleep to come to church. Amen. But didn't he make it a little bit sweeter when you got here? Amen. Isn't it good to walk with Jesus? Isn't it good to know that when the weight of the world begins to bear down on you and the trials and the troubles of life come your way and this kid's having this problem, that kid's having this problem, your spouse is going through this and you're going through that, and you're each in your midlife crisis and trying to figure out how to work things out, all you got to do is look for Jesus. He's right there. Amen. And he'll make it a lot better. Amen. Y'all must not believe that this morning. Let me tell you what. He will. He can. And he does make it better. Amen. And he's right there if you want him to. When the religious crowd, you know, we talk with a lot of people. And you'd be surprised as a pastor how many people come and talk to you about problems that they're facing, that they're dealing with in their church. And they can't, some of them can't even approach their pastors. They feel that he's unapproachable. And they'll come and they'll talk to me. Now ask me, you know, and the Bible says in the multitude of counselors, there's safety. And they're not bragging. They're not going around telling anybody. They're just coming talking to me. And they're wanting to know. You know, religion is letting a lot of people down. Amen. Religion is failing America at a phenomenal pace. Religion is taking America down the path to destruction, amen, because people are getting wrapped up in religion and they're forgetting all about Jesus. Amen. Over in John chapter 9, Jesus gives sight to a blind man. Amen. He touched his eyes. He anointed him. And he caused him to be able to see and told him. And so he said, go and show the priest. Go and tell them what God has done for you and offer the sacrifices. You know, God, he blesses us in our life, but there's a sacrifice that needs to be given. It's the sacrifice of praise unto God for what he's done. He said, go offer the sacrifice. Amen. That's needed. And he went to the priest. And they said, yeah, this sounds like a hoax to us. You know what the problem is in religion today? It's the same problem the blind man had. Yes. Amen? We can't accept what Jesus can do, but we want everything that man can do. Amen. We don't believe that Jesus is able to take the drunk and to dry him out. We don't believe that Jesus is able to take the drug addict and to get him off of drugs. We don't believe that God is able to take the sick person and touch their bodies anymore and make them whole. Let me tell you something. How many remember my stepsister, Joanne Meadows? You know what Joanne's doing now? She's driving. Amen. Y'all seen her sit here, and she had meningitis. She caught the worst kind. She got the bacterial meningitis. Isn't that the worst kind, Sherry? She got it, and she almost died. They had her isolated. We couldn't even go in the room with her. We could stand outside, and she was so bad, and look in the window. And the doctor said she was a perfectly healthy woman. And one day she's here, and the next day she's there. And she'd been in a car accident and had been having neck problems for a few years from a disc and all that was messed up. And they thought maybe when the first one in, that's what it was. But no, she had bacterial meningitis. And they said, we don't think we're going to be able to save her. And they had her in a room isolated where we could stand outside and look at. We weren't even allowed to go in the room with her. No one was allowed in there. She was so contagious. She was so bad with it. And after she got through that trial, she asked the doctor, said, but how did I get this? He said, we don't know. He said, you could have picked up a piece of fruit in the grocery store and transmitted it unto you. Folks, that's how tenuous our life is. That's how fragile we live. But it left her crippled. She would convulse uncontrollably. She sat right here in the church, and her head would start going, and people thought she was the exorcist or something. And, you know, kids, I'm sure, were scared, but she couldn't control it, had no control over it. Well, she found out about a new treatment. And I seen her yesterday. She was walking. She says, I can walk. I said, I heard you're driving. She says, yes, yes. She said, and she began to cry. She began to weep. She said, isn't God good? Isn't God good? I said, well, what happened? How did he do it? She said, I took Botox treatments in my head. They shot Botox treatments into her brain. She said, I figured I didn't have anything to lose. She said, if it didn't work, I'd have the youngest looking head in the area. Amen. But people say, well, God don't still do those things. Yes, he does. Yes, he does. But you see what happens with the religious crowd? If it isn't all about them, if it isn't their way, if it isn't according to their thought and their theology, it can't happen. But let me tell you, folks, this morning, as sure as I'm standing here, Jesus still heals. Jesus still changes lives. Jesus still saves souls. Jesus can take from the guttermost and save to the uttermost. And Jesus can still do what Jesus said that he can do in his word. And he will never let religion hinder him from from doing what he can do. That poor blind man went to them priests and showed himself, and they said, oh, you're just a fake and you're a phony. Praise God. I'm going to tell you something. Joanne was not a phony. That's the hand of God upon her life. Her brother Jack isn't a phony. When they told him that he needed his carotid artery surgery, had 3 or 4 sonograms before the surgery, and they said he's so stopped up that they can't believe he's able to still function, and went that day, and they said there ain't nothing there. Amen. God still works. Amen. They called his parents in. They said, is this your son? They said, yeah. They said, was he born blind? He says, yeah. Well, he says he got healed. They said, listen, they were scared of the religious crowd. You know the problem with a lot of people today, you were scared of the religious crowd. Hey, man, I'm not afraid of the religious Baptist. Hey, man, I'm going to worship Jesus. Hey, man. I'm not afraid of the rest of the denominations, whatever they want to be, whatever they want to call themselves. You know what? I really don't care about the name Baptist. I'm a Christian. Amen. Amen. I serve Jesus. Amen. I believe in Jesus. The Baptist never saved me. Jesus did. Amen. The Baptist has never touched my body and done a thing for me, but Jesus did. Amen. Let me just make this perfectly clear. I want you to know that it's not about me. It's not about you. It's not about anything but Jesus. Amen. And Jesus can meet the need. The religious crowd, they couldn't figure out how Jesus could have met this man's need. And his parents were afraid that the religious crowd was going to cast them out of the temple. Praise God. They can throw me out. Y'all can throw me out of here. But praise God, I don't have to worry about it because Jesus is right there. Amen. Waiting. When they throwed him out, Jesus found him. And Jesus said, listen, I am the Messiah. I'm the Redeemer. I'm the soul saver. And he's said, hallelujah, and he began to worship Jesus. I want you to know something today. If you really want to worship, if you want to really get in touch with him, he's right there. Amen. I quit worrying about what the religious crowd says and start seeking Jesus. Amen. Amen. You know what? I give up worrying about what other churches do and other churches think. Yes. Amen. A long time ago. I want to worship Jesus. I give up worrying about what this one taught and what that one taught and what this one says. I got to get in the book. I've been 15 years here now. Yep. My challenge from day one is if you ever question what I teach or you ever question what I preach, you come and see me. But when you come and see me, bring the word of God. And Lord, I'm not superstitious or anything else. In 15 years, we've not been challenged one time. Because we don't preach ourselves. Amen. We don't preach denominationalism. We preach the book. Amen. We preach, thus saith the word of God. We stay in the word. The word, you come to me with a problem, I'm going to tell you where we're going to go. We're going to go to the word to find the answer. Might not always be the answer you want to hear, but the word's there. Amen. And it don't change. Amen. The word has the answer for what you need. And I want to take you to the word to find the answer for what you need. Religion will never satisfy you, but Jesus will every time. Amen. Religion will never take care of your problems, but let me tell you why, Jesus will every time. Religion isn't worthy of our worship, but praise God, Jesus is every time. Amen. And when that man found out that religion, I had no part of him and wasn't no part of him because he had a relationship with Jesus, they cast him out. But praise God, Jesus was right there to meet his need. Jesus was right there to catch him when he fell. And praise God, he found out that Jesus was more than enough. Just like old Peter, amen. You know, we go through times in life and we go through things when we just feel like we're going down for the last time. Our friends maybe have forsaken us. Our family has forsaken us. Our hope seems to be all gone. And it just seems like we can't find the end. We can't find the answer to our problems. And Jesus is just right there. Jesus came walking to his disciples. Man, they were in the midst of a little bit of a storm. the wind was contrary. And they were rowing, but they weren't getting anywhere. You ever feel like you're just working, but you ain't getting anywhere? Amen. And Jesus came walking to them on the sea. Amen. And Jesus was right there. Amen. And they thought, maybe it's a ghost. Amen. Jesus was right there. And they thought, maybe it's just a spirit. Jesus was right there. And they were missing Jesus because they were looking for everything else. You ever been there? Amen. Jesus is right there. You're going down for the last time. You don't know if you're going to make it. And Jesus comes walking by. He's right there. Amen. And you're attributing it to everything else. Well, it was the preacher. Well, it was the teacher. Well, it was the song. Certainly, it was the singing. Hey, man, it was this. It was that. It's Jesus, folks. It's Jesus. Jesus said, "Fear not. It's I." Hey, man, isn't it good that in the midst of the storm, when the eye of the storm shows up, you find out that the eye of the storm is Jesus. Hey, man. And Peter said, "Lord, if it be Thou, bid me come unto Thee on the water." He said, "Come on." Hey, man. Peter stepped out. And he began walking to Jesus. I don't know how far away Jesus was. Amen. He must have been far enough off that they couldn't see for a fact that it was Jesus. Amen. So it had to be a pretty good ways. Amen. For not to recognize that it was actually Jesus. Stop and think about this now. You know, it's not like you're going from here to the back of the church. I can still see who you are out there. Amen. But Jesus said, come. Peter got out and started walking. And he's walking to Jesus. And everything's going fine. But look at this. The closer he gets to Jesus, the more he becomes aware of the storm around him. You know, when he first seen Jesus and he was way back here, amen, he said, "Lord, if it be Thou, bid me come unto Thee." He said, "Come on." He jumped right out of the boat and he started going. But then he got close to Jesus. And he began to see the storm. You know, the devil don't want you to get close to Jesus. Amen. The devil will try to hinder you from getting close to Jesus. Amen. And Peter, he got close to Jesus. And the closer he got to Jesus, the worse the storm got, Marie. Amen. Can you testify to that? Amen. You know what I'm talking about right now. You've been going through it. Amen. The closer you try to get to Jesus, the worse the storm gets. And the more fearful it becomes. And if you're not careful, pretty soon you get your eyes off of Jesus. And you find out that you're going down, and you're going down fast, and you're going down hard. Hey, man, but you know what? Jesus is right there. Hey, man, Jesus is right there. Are you going down? Hey, man, are you going under? It feels like you've been under so many times, and you think you're about ready to go under for the last time. Let me tell you something. Jesus is there. Amen. He's right there. There is Jesus, and all you got to do is call on Jesus. And you know what happens when you call on Jesus? He reaches down and he grabs a hold of you. Amen. He reaches down and he plucks you up. The psalmist said, "He brought me up out of the horrible pit, out of the miry clay. And he set my feet on a rock, and he established my coming and my going." Amen. Jesus is right there. There he is. And all you got to do is call on him. There he is. And all you got to do is just desire him. There he is. And he wants to be your friend. He wants to be your help. He wants to be your encourager. There he is. He's the one that brings calm in the midst of the storm. There he is. He's the one that reaches down to pluck you up out of danger. There he is. The one that meets every need that you have in your life. Over in John chapter 8, they brought the woman unto Jesus, which was taken in adultery. And she was taken in the very act of adultery. Amen. And they brought her to Jesus. And they said, "The law says that she should be stoned." Don't you like the legalist? Hey, man, we got churches full of legalists. Hey, man, The law said that she should be stoned. Let's go back and see what the law said. What did the law say? The law said the man and the woman should both be stoned. Amen. Amen. The legalists point the finger. The legalists point the finger at everybody's life. The legalists say, you need to do this and you need to do that. And you got to act this way and you got to act that way. The legalists are bending the word of God. They brought the woman. Where was the man? They brought part of the problem, but they didn't want to deal with the whole problem. It might have been one of their sons that was involved with this woman who was taken in the very act of adultery. It might have been one of their brothers. For all that matter, it could have been one of their fathers that was caught up with this woman and they didn't want to embarrass themselves. Let me tell you what, folks, I want you to know this morning. Jesus is no respecter of persons. Amen. Amen. They said she was taken in the very act of adultery. What should we do? The Bible said Jesus stooped down and began writing on the ground. And they kept pressing him and he kept writing. And they wanted to know what should be done. Here she is, shamefully brought before Jesus, and her sin bore out before him. You know, there's no secrets with Jesus. I think he knew she was coming before they got there. Amen. And Jesus stood up and he looked at him and says, let he who is without sin. And the Bible says from the eldest to the youngest to begin to walk away. She stood condemned, and rightfully so. The law said that the adulterer and that the adulteress should die. The wages of sin is death. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We are all under the condemnation of sin. And sin's condemnation says that we are worthy of death. But there was Jesus. That he who is without sin, let him cast the first stone. There was Jesus when old Brother Jim Outland preached the love of God to my heart and my life. Brought me under God-sent Holy Ghost conviction. There was Jesus. There was Jesus. I stood condemned. But he died to save me. Oh, I've sinned many a time since that day. But every time I sin, I can go to Jesus. And he's right there to forgive me of my sins and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I know when I sin, there's Jesus. And I can find forgiveness. I can find restoration. I can find hope. Friend, this morning we all stand condemned. We all stand worthy of a devil's hell. But there's Jesus. He's there to save those who are unsaved, those who are lost and on their way to a devil's hell, those who've never asked Jesus Christ into their heart. He's there to save the Christian that has strayed and has found that they are in sin, and sin is trying to shackle them and bring them under bondage again. There is Jesus, and he forgives, and he cleanses, and he restores us, and he makes us a vessel once again that's meet for the master's use. He takes that which is broken, amen, and he puts it back together and makes it right again. There is Jesus. He told the woman to go and sin no more. There was Jesus, her Redeemer. There was Jesus, her Savior. Amen. And that same Jesus still does the same thing today. Hebrews tells us Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. In Mark's gospel in the 15th chapter, the Bible says, find my place here, and then bring him unto the place called Golgotha, which is being interpreted the place of a skull. And they gave him to drink wine mingled with myrrh, but he received it not. And when they had crucified him, they parted his garments, casting lots upon them what every man should take. And it was the third hour, and they crucified him. And the superscription of his accusation was written over the King of the Jews. And with him they crucified two thieves, the one on his right hand and the other on his left. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, and he was numbered with the transgressors. Up that place of death, up that place of suffering, up that place of Roman torture, walked a man, meek and lowly. Walked the man who had done been chastised, who had done been beaten and scourged, mocked and ridiculed for the sin of mankind. And the Bible says, and it was the third hour, and they crucified him. And they raised him up on that cross, a sign placed over his head that said, the King of the Jews. There's Jesus. There's Jesus, the sacrifice for sin. There's Jesus, the Redeemer of mankind. There's Jesus, the hope of all humanity. There's Jesus, the King of the Jews. There's Jesus, the Messiah. There's Jesus, the Christ. There's Jesus, my Savior. There's Jesus, all that we need, all that we could ever hope for, and all that we could desire. Friends, let me tell you this. Jesus is enough. Everything else will never fulfill you. Everything else will never satisfy you. Everything else will never meet your needs. Jesus is enough. Do you have him this morning? Do you know him this morning? Is he meeting your needs this morning? Have you surrendered to him this morning? Because he's enough. He's enough. Last Sunday and a little bit this Sunday morning in our Sunday school class, we talked about 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 11. And says, glory and dominion belongs to him. They're his. Does he have dominion of your heart? Does he sit upon your heart's throne?